thinking outside the royal box. The royal baby is named Muhammad, Duke of Cambridge. Well, what do you know?
Not much, you.
Live from Oxford, Mississippi to Lawrence, Kansas, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we dissect D.C. with this town author, Mark Leibovich, all the news that isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who favored Grover Cleveland, Alexander Windsor, it's Michael Elliott Feldman.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, they're baby-proofing Buckingham even as we speak now. That's a job. The corgi's got to go because the little guy looks too much like a hedgehog, and corgis have a field day with hedgehogs. That would be bad for secession, if nothing else, yeah. No response yet to Prince Harry's offer to babysit. Can just see that, look, I'm Michael Jackson moment on the balcony. You know, Harry. In non-royal baby news, Anthony Weiner's wife forgives Ryan Brown. I think I mixed some. Yeah, Anthony Weiner's wife forgives Ryan Brown. Okay. Weiner says he was not sexting, he was just typing with his you-know. Little trick he does. The Weiners, of course, will take their case to Dr. Phil. Tony, do you have anything to say to Humma? If he does win, of course, he'll have to Weiner-proof Gracie Mansion. That's going to be a big deal, too. Speaking of Buckingham. Okay. Meanwhile... I don't make up the news. This is actually the news. Meanwhile, rather than resign for his famous secretary headlock, the mayor of San Diego will take behavioral therapy at SeaWorld. Researchers find strong evidence that the moon can hit your eye like a big pizza pie. That's amore. Free man in Russia, Edward Snowden, rushes off to the KGB offices to see if his credits will transfer. I thought that was pretty good. I'm giving myself a smiley face on him. The House bill to restrict the NSA surveillance to the gooseneck lamp in Tony Soprano's basement comes up just short. Durables surge, but that can't last. Okay. I wasn't sure about that one. Come on, some of these. Scientists discover a false memory in mice, which accounts for Jerry's horrendous accusations against Tom. How could that possibly have happened? Cubs trade Alfonso Soriano to Yankees for a jumbotron, an additional signage to be named later. Meanwhile, looks like plan B-Rod for A-Rod. Zimmerman comes out of hiding to deliver Kate's baby. And this, Justin, Zimmerman has dragged another white family out of their van for no reason. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Zimmerman. Lance Armstrong is in the Iowa bike race, a true riches to ragbri story. Come on, that's pretty good. I'm not looking for a response or anything, but gee, that won't come up again. He's being watched closely, of course, as he passes the ethanol tanks. Al Jazeera Television picks up the Albert Brooks sitcom, That Darn Jew. The shrinking Arctic ice cap threatens baby seal clubbing. NASA discovers... I'm sorry, tears are in my eyes. I can't read that. What is NASA discovers most so-called near-Earth objects are actually little things that are floating past on your cornea. And Sharknado eclipses Holsteinado at the box office. That's all the news that isn't. Thank you so much. Sharknado. Holsteinado. Okay. I said it, and I'm not glad. Mark Leibovich has a new book out, This Town. It has taken this town by storm. And I'm sure he's gotten quite a bit of response, and we'll find out exactly what it was as he joins us now from Washington, D.C., Mark Leibovich. How are you, Mark?
Hi, Michael. I've got to say, I laughed to myself during the Durables line,
the
Riches to Ragby line,
and the
Tom and Jerry line was excellent.
Okay, thank you so much.
Anyway, I was amused. Anyway, yes.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Can I call you?
No, I'm serious, too.
Thank you. But they were jokes. I don't know why you're serious about it.
That's true. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Can I call you Lebo, or don't we know each other well enough?
You can call me whatever you want.
So are you getting invited to more parties or fewer as a result of this book?
Well, you see, my grand plan here to no parties, and so far it's working. No. Not really. I mean, I think... I had a great book party myself the other day, and some friends threw it for me, and people tried to crash it, so I guess that's something.
Yeah, but, was Politico there?
Yeah, of course they were there. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It's funny. The CEO himself had his assistant call to ask for a special invitation, and we, of course, granted one.
What are special invitations?
He can go.
What?
We just said, yeah, sure, he can go.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's special.
That's a special invitation as far as I'm concerned. I'm not very formal, though.
Yeah. You know, but this book, it sort of ends up being like that, you know, the famous book of the turn of the century about the meat slaughter business.
Yeah, that's what I had in mind.
Yeah, and it's sort of like that about Washington, D.C., because it's sort of, when you see what actually how it goes on in the culture there, it's really quite horrendous to someone who's not used to this sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was sort of the goal here. I mean, I think ideally, I mean, this is the sort of book that I knew was going to cause some kind of freak out in the nation's capital, and the nation's capital has not disappointed, but it really has been geared to people outside of town, and at least based on what people are telling me, it seems to be an eye-opener, and look, as a journalist, I try to hold a mirror to the culture, and that's what I hope I did.
Yeah, but as a journalist, are you part of the problem as well?
Well, I mean, here's what I would say. I mean, I'm pretty transparent in the book about saying, look, I live here. I'm attached to a major news organization. I have been since the day I got here. I mean, I worked for the Washington Post for 9 years, and I'm at the New York Times now. And so, yes, I have entree into this world, but I do think that in order to really be honest about it, you have to, one, explain why you're here, but two, be mindful of the fact that you cannot be part of the problem you're writing about. And I'm not trying to place myself above it, but I think that I do make a point of not trying to be above it, but also trying to just be mindful of who I am and the fact that, yes, I'm an insider and I'm writing from this willingly.
No. But if you look at, I mean, the book was almost called Suck Up City, right?
Yes, it was. It's chapter two. That's the name of chapter two. We made it into a chapter name. I didn't want my kids running around with the title. It just seemed a
little crap. But that is true not just for people trying to improve their brand, but it has to be true for journalists as well, right?
I mean, it is. I mean, I think what happens is when you work in a city like this, you get used to being dealt with in a certain way, whether it's overly salesy or obsequious or spin or flat-out lies. And I do think that people do lose here at the fact that this is not how normal people talk to each other. And I think the suck-up-itude is a big part of that. Now, I mean, there's a lot of meanings to that. I mean, people come and they're sucked up by the culture and they suck up to try to rise in the culture. But, So, I mean, I think it's part of the larger disconnect I try to flesh out.
Yeah. Is it sort of like Veep? Veep is sort of our only way of looking at Washington these days.
Yeah, Veep and House of Cards, and I mean, a lot of people have actually made those comparisons. Except that, you know, the stuff is true. I mean, this isn't, I don't have the luxury of fiction. So it's really I mean, I think look, those are all somewhat cartoonish versions of Washington's worst character traits, but. Look, I mean, this is Washington sort of spread over the last 5 years, and again, it's trying to illustrate what it's become.
But it's not what it used to be, like the old gray mayor, because you say here like the Clintons basically were the departure for all this the big sea change in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I'm careful not to lapse into nostalgia too much because I'm not one. I don't want to be one of these people who said, "Well, it was so much better in Nixon's day," because look, Washington's always had major pathologies sort of running through it. But I think the Clinton years were a bit of a tipping point in that. First of all, just the celebrity aspect that you see today, the concurrent boom in cable television, the internet coming up sort of late in that time, and also the Clintons, or Bill Clinton especially, his proclivities for big trouble, made this a much more tabloid sensibility, but also the new technologies at the time and the money pouring in made it much more like Hollywood. So I don't really do a lot of, you know, thumb sucking. Like, well, this is the history of it all, readers. But I do think that was a major inflection point.
Yeah, and really the money is a big part of that, and the whole celebrity operative,
right.
I think you call them. What is a celebrity operative?
A celebrity operative is, just the idea that now. I mean, when you are attached to a president or whether you were an aide or, you know, because of cable, I mean, people like James Carville and Mary Madeline and now David Axelrod and, Karl Rove. I mean, these are all multi-million dollar brands who can make tons of money on the speaking circuit with TV deals, with consulting deals. And it's all it's very much part of the promise of helping get your guy elected is to kind of be set for life afterwards. And I don't begrudge them that, but I think that that's a big part of the dynamic we have now, too.
Yeah. And this all starts in your book with the funeral of Tim Russert, which seems like a curious place for those not, you know, inside of all this. But it makes absolute sense.
It was quite a moment. I mean, it was the beginning of my chronology is the moment of his death, which is June of 08. And the reason I did that was, one, he was such a giant here, and he really, really was the mayor of official Washington, meaning he really lived at the nexus of politics and media and money, and he was not someone you wanted to cross. He had the most powerful, you know, media outlet or TV show or franchise, Meet the Press, of anyone, and he sort of created this vacuum and this anarchy in the peanut gallery, which kind of unleashed this era that I'm talking about, but also his funeral itself was treated like this big state funeral, and it took place. The memorial service was at the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, and I remember taking in that scene because I was there and just seeing people just trying to work it and trying to throw business cards at each other and get Hillary Clinton booked on their shows and congratulating the Obama people and the McCain people to try to win favor with the possible next president, and it was just this perverse cocktail party at what was supposed to be a somber occasion. And it was, I think it sort of goes to one of the larger points of the book, which is that Washington puts the me in media.
Right. And but even in the eulogies, though, you're supposed to be somber, but there are quite a few jokes going on in the eulogies regarding this very thing.
Yeah, I mean, jokes you can tell jokes in eulogies. I mean, it's always good when there's a little humor, but I do think that there was a well enough about me quality to some of the eulogists. And frankly, I mean, there was some friction between the Russert family and NBC because NBC was seen by some to have hijacked the occasion as a branding opportunity to highlight some of its talent on the eulogy stage, whereas that might not have been the preference of the family. But it was quite a moment, and it was like a state funeral, and yet it was just a great pageant in which I introduced a lot of my characters. And also, I just think it was a sprawling scene that I wanted to immortalize somehow.
Mm-hmm. Now, this branding keeps coming up. Can you explain to us who aren't branded necessarily?
I don't know what I've been branded now.
Yeah, what you've been branded. Right. But branding as a concept, what are people attempting to do?
Well, basically, branding is one of those horrible words that kind of escaped the realm of advertising and marketing, and now it's like fully infested the nation's capital. I mean, it's infested everywhere because everyone's talking about building their brand, but it's especially true here, in which everyone is sort of running around, and instead of thinking about how they can, you know, perform public service, which is supposedly what the city was built on, they are thinking about how they can build their brand, meaning how can they be more marketable, how can they get a name for themselves, whether by Twitter or Facebook or blog or TV, that they can market as a business proposition. So, I mean, everyone is trying to run around branding themselves like like Cheetos, you know, and mm-hmm. I make the point that Tim Russert was the local Coca-Cola, but mm-hmm. No, but I mean, that's, again, it's part of the larger change from public service to self-service as the defining ethic of the capital city.
Yeah. This sounds like the end of days kind of scenario, like, you know, the locusts are going to start flying shortly.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, in Washington, I mean, it's so wealthy here now, there'll be very, 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 very well-fed locusts, right? I mean, there'll be a lot of buffet lines and everything.
Yeah.
No, I mean, look, I mean, people have read this as maybe a bit of a cynical treatment, but it does come from a place of idealism on my part, because I think that look, we want the capital city to do better. We want it to be more reflective of our ideals as Americans. And look, if this is a source of shame or at least eye-opening, I'd be thrilled. But mostly I just wanted to sort of lay it all out and hope people learn from it.
And hope you can work again.
Yeah, I guess people do seem to be asking. Everyone says, will you ever have lunch in this town again? I'm so humbled that everyone would feel so concerned about my nutrition, you know?
But I bet, at the same time, I bet they were really upset if they were not included in the book, at least a mention.
There has been some of that. Like,
yes.
How dare you say that about me in the book? And then there's that other group of people who say, well, where was I? You couldn't have mentioned my name? So, yeah, no, it's all over the charts.
And there is no index.
And for that reason.
Yeah.
I didn't want people to go into a bookstore, you know, go through the index and look for themselves and then put the book back on the shelf. That's called the Washington Read. It's like a pretty, it's a famous, no, it's actually, it's a pretty well-known concept around here, which is kind of funny, but also kind of ridiculous. And so, yeah, I didn't want to give people the easy out to do that.
So they had to buy the book. So it was $27.95 or nothing.
Exactly.
Higher in Canada.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I noticed that
go to Canada.
I noticed the Post did come out with its own index, and they had something like 700 or something.
They did. It was. I think very savvy of them. And you have no idea how many people have referred to that index. I mean, actually, here's a little story. I was in the green room of ABC's This Week last week because I was getting ready to sort of. This is my first interview about the book, and mm-hmm. Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota walks in, and I've known her a little bit over the years, and she said, "Hey, I haven't read your book yet, but I see, according to the Washington Post, I'm on chapter 13. What's it say?" I said, "Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you better go check, Senator." And so I was, So I think right there was the index paying for itself.
Yeah.
The non-index
paying for itself, yeah.
Right.
But she could have bought the book.
I bet she did. Actually, I bet she had an aide buy it and then charge it to the voters of Minnesota.
I bet.
I don't want to cast aspersions.
Yeah. Okay. And so... a lot of the formers are involved in this book too. These people who keep turning up because I just thinking like, you know, Larry Summers is back again.
Sure.
And so these formers have to sort of rebrand. Is that what happens?
Well, yeah. I mean, Larry Summers is not a perfect example because
no.
He's at least going back into public service.
Right. Right.
I mean, he is. I mean, if he gets to be Fed chair, as he's been speculated upon in the last few days, I mean, it would be, I mean, that's a public job, right? I mean, and he's gone back into academia. He's been in and out of the White House. But, I mean, the formers I'm talking about are basically the former congressman, the former congressional aide, the former so-and-so administration person that instead of going home, like everyone sort of says, well, we hate it in Washington, but instead of going home, they stay here. And they, quote-unquote, this is a new term, monetize their public service as a consultant, as a lobbyist, as some kind of hanger-on. And there's a whole empty-calorie economy built on the formers. And I make the point that formers stick to Washington like melted cheese on a gold-plated toaster.
Yeah.
So I'm not one of those people who quotes himself in an interview.
No, but you just
really
did.
Which is really obnoxious. Yeah. So I apologize.
That's okay. Monetize their public service. You got to like that phrase.
I'm totally, totally, totally into that phrase. Yeah, one day I'd like to do it myself.
Yeah. The Obama revolution fizzled somewhat?
I don't know if it fizzled, but look, I mean, hope and change was a very powerful, I would say, certainly marketing point in 2008.
Good branding there.
It was good branding, and I think the president meant it, and I think he's obviously done a lot, and he's enacted a lot of his agenda, for better or for worse. But I think it's somewhat disingenuous for them to say that they are above this game. They are not going to play the traditional Washington games when they just seem to be completely immersed in it at times. And I think if you look at things that they've said over the years, whether we're not going to opt out of the campaign finance system in 2008, and then they opted out when they decided that they could raise money at will. Then they said this time that they wouldn't work with the super PACs, but then they said, yeah, maybe we should work with the super PACs. And then they said, no lobbyists in the White House. And they said, yeah, but we're going to make this exception, this exception, this exception, and this exception. I mean, it does wear you down a little bit. And I think if you look at the people around then Senator Obama, now President Obama, most of them have been in politics for a long time. Most of them have been in Washington a long time, and they play the game as hard and as probably as well as anyone.
Yeah. Does it actually proceed regardless of who's in the White House or who's in Congress, even? It just sort of has its own agenda. I mean, there's a culture there that goes on no matter who's in.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, there is no unemployment line in politics. I mean, again, first of all, I mean, Washington is now by far the wealthiest metropolitan area in the country, and it is home to 7 of the wealthiest 10 counties in the United States. And I think part of it is people stay and they come here because it's a really easy place to do well and to get good, or to get famous, or to get some sign of second act. So this is a perpetual culture that can't be voted out and can't really be shamed and is its own kind of standalone force. I mean, Senator Tom Coburn, who's a very conservative Republican from Oklahoma, has this term. Washington has become a permanent feudal class of insiders, and I think that that's sort of what I'm talking about. I mean, it wasn't intended to be, but I think that that's what we're looking at here.
Yeah, and I thought maybe it was a part about Ed Gillespie, and he was talking about his counterpart, totally on opposite sides. Yeah, totally on opposite sides of the coin politically, and yet they basically said that they were all part of the same understanding, same
right. No, exactly. I mean, Jack Quinn, who was the general counsel for the White House under Bill Clinton, in the late 90s, he teamed up with Ed Gillespie, who's one of the better-known Republican operatives, and he's been involved in a lot of campaigns. And they started a lobbying firm that was really one of the first major, if not the first major, bipartisan lobbying firm in the late 90s called Quinn Gillespie. And they boomed like the rest of the lobbying sector. They both cashed out for about $40 million in the middle part of the last decade. And I asked Jack Quinn, who's one of my kind of a minor character in the book, I said, so what was it about Ed that appealed to you? And he said, well, Ed got the joke. And I'm like, well, what's the joke? Right. I mean, like, is it what? I don't get it. And he said, well, you know, the joke. And I'm like, no, I don't know the joke. Explain it to me. And he said, well, the joke is that we're all patriots. I'm like, he sort of winked at me. I mean, and I was kind of, I still didn't know what he meant. But, I mean, ultimately, I mean, these are two people who met in the green room back in the 90s of cable shows in which they would go on the air and yell at each other about whatever they were disagreeing about. And then they would go into business together, and they knew that it wasn't so much Democrats or Republicans at the end of the day. It's millionaires, man. That's one of the main points of the book, is that Washington is not as hopelessly divided as many people think. In fact, it's hopelessly interconnected, and there's a lot of self-interest that ultimately is being realized here before the public interest.
Yeah. Have the Tea Partiers been assimilated yet into the country?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to measure. I mean, I think what you see is, I mean, there have been a lot of quote-unquote change elections in the last few years.
Sure.
In 2006, the Democrats swooped in, and then you had President Obama coming in 2008, and then you had the Tea Party come in 2010, and the only thing that seems to change is people get richer here. I think maybe a more longitudinal example is the Newt Gingrich revolution of 1994, when Republicans swept in, and about half of them seemed to take term limit vows, and most of them are either still in office or in Washington somehow. So
yeah.
There is something that happens once you get here.
The contract on America. 1994. And Newt is a good example of that very problem, I guess. So.
They've all done it. Newt's done very well, too.
Yeah.
For himself.
Yeah. But the Obama's administration always said that they were not going to play. They're not gonna, lobbyists were not welcome in the White House, and that sort of, is that held pretty much?
No, not really.
No.
No, I mean, there have been numerous exceptions. I mean, it's been one after another. And look, I mean, they do have, I guess you'd say, more stringent rules on who can leave and lobby, or, you know, people take sort of these vows not to lobby. But no, I mean, no, it's the lobbying sector is as healthy now over the last few years as it's ever been. So
yeah.
The revolving door is spinning and spinning very, very fast and well.
Yeah. I do. I also this notion of a super staffer. Could you explain that? What is a super staffer as opposed to a super staffer?
Yeah. It's a phenomenon that arose out of, again, Hollywood. I mean, once West Wing got so popular, mostly in the maybe early around the turn of the last turn of the century to about like 1999, 2000, around then, you had these people like the Josh Lymans and the Tobys and the CJs, and you had these fictional versions of, you know, the really kind of exciting life of the big shot political operator, and you had real life examples too. I mean, with James Carville and Mary Madeline, and in the 90s, and so it became. I mean, a lot of staffers here, and there's, you know, tens if not hundreds of thousands of staffers running around trying to make a name for themselves. I mean, they kind of had this template in people on TV, and they said, all right, I'm going to be a super staffer now. I'm going to be the next Josh Lineman. And again, these are sort of Hollywood definitions of one's potential brand. And I think it changed the behavior in some ways of staffers. In the book, I actually have one object lesson of a guy who just was desperate to be a super staffer. He succeeded, but he succeeded a little too much and got himself a little bit too much attention and wound up having kind of a fall from grace, but an eventual resurrection. And you can read about it on chapter 8.
In case he's wondering where he is, he's in chapter 8. Right. You were involved in that, though, weren't you?
I was.
Yes.
Yeah, I was. So Kurt Bardella is the guy's name. He was a press secretary to Daryl Issa, a Republican, very conservative Republican from California, who was in line to become the head of the Government Affairs and Reform Committee, which is an investigative body. And if Republicans won the majority in the House in 2010, which they did, Daryl Issa was going to become all the more powerful. And so I started following Kurt Bardella around as a character in this book, and he started forwarding me emails from other reporters and some members of Congress as a way to show me how he was spending his days. And these people didn't know their emails were being shared. I didn't think they weren't very happy about it when they learned of it. And then suddenly it was a big scandal, and it was very embarrassing. And so he lost his job, and I felt really badly about it because I was complicit. And it was it was just uncomfortable because there I was in the middle of the story. But eventually, he got his job back, and I sort of used that as a beginning to end example of what just a rise and fall, and the fact that there's no fall from grace.
Oh, you know what comes out good though is Harry Reid in this.
Reid is interesting. Yeah, yeah. No, Harry Reid is someone who. Actually, they're in the car. Sorry,
what's
just
in the car?
Trying to find the keys to the car. I'm sorry about
that. You left
that.
The keys just, in the car.
My wife was the reason I paused there. All right, Harry Reid. I'm so sorry. This is the peril.
No, that's all right. This is more important.
My kids are running around. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Harry Reid is obviously a very, very powerful senator. He is someone who I took a liking to. He took a liking to me, too. And he's just – and Tom Coburn, who's his sort of philosophical and institutional opposite, is someone else who I sort of posit as a character who in their own way are pretty honest. But Harry Reid just sort of says what's exactly on his mind at all times, and he is – first of all, he's a powerhouse. He's a guy who doesn't care about being on TV. He doesn't care about getting credit, giving big speeches, which is what most politicians do. He just wants to be in charge. And if he can eke out 50.0001% of the vote in Nevada every 6 years and win favor with his caucus, he will be happy. But I remember there was this great scene where he was calling through every member of the Democratic caucus that won on the election night in 2006, and he was ending every call by saying, "Love you, Hillary. Love you, Sherrod." I mean, everyone who won, he would just say, "Love you," at the end. And these were like 20, 30-second conversations. And he saw me looking kind of quizzically at him as he was making these calls, and he said, "You know, they're politicians. They need to hear this." And then he went on to the next call, you know, "Love you, Kent." And it was, I thought it was a great moment of him just being completely transparent about what he was doing, just sort of touching his bases and saying, "Look, they need to hear that. These are politicians. They need to know that they're loved or think that they're loved, and I'm just going to do it."
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a good moment, I thought.
The man from Searchlight, Nevada.
The man from Searchlight, Nevada.
Yeah, 12 brothels and no churches.
At least when he was born. I don't know what the state of the local brothel economy in Searchlight is. I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah.
You ever been there?
And into a Mormon family. That's got to be make for an interesting dichotomy.
Well, he wasn't Mormon when he was growing up. He and his wife, who was Jewish, and they got married, and they decided that they would convert to Mormonism.
Oh.
Of course, I don't know what he was converting from, but they became Mormons together.
Yeah, and a porn star name. All in addition.
That's true. I didn't even think of that.
You can't beat that guy.
They do have a mezuzah in the entrance to their house in Searchlight, right in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
When I was reporting this, I went out and I was like, "There's a mezuzah at this house in the middle of the desert." I'm like, "Am I in the wrong house?" And he said, "Oh no, our kids are very proud of their Jewish heritage."
Excellent.
And I'm like, "Oh, okay," because you know, Landrew was Jewish, but now we're Mormons. But
yeah.
Anyway,
it's just a little.
I thought that was kind of weird.
Little love you Moses moment there.
Exactly.
The book is This Town, Mark Leibovich. Thanks so much for taking the time, and find those keys now wherever they are.
You know, I found them. I think she feels good. I feel good. Sorry about that.
No, that's not a problem at all. Thank you, Mark, for speaking with us.
Great
book, This Town. Thanks, Mark Leibovich, in Washington, D.C., also known as This Town. Okay. Yeah. All right. Really makes you want to go into politics, though. Doesn't have so much to do with politics anymore, politics.
No, it's power politics. No, just plain power.
Very good. I think you got a book in you.
Yeah. Power.
Yeah.
Power to the people. Oh, wait a minute.
That's the electric company uses that one.
Yeah.
That was a sea change when the electric company started using that phrase. Well, okay, that's over, I guess.
Yes.
All right. So much for the age of Aquarius.
I know. It's dawning.
Yeah. It's set, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, how are you? Pretty good, then?
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Well, come on.
No, I'm tired. We're both tired.
Wait, yeah. What are you tired from?
Oh, I didn't sleep very well, and Jeff just didn't sleep.
Were you sleeping together?
No. No.
Okay. You worried about stuff? Or
no, not
physical
really.
Things?
Just, I don't know.
Just one of those
excited,
nights.
You know, about coming here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Still got the old excitement. I like that. I like to see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a little number coming up here. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, this is a number by, I don't know if you ever heard of this vocalist, Bobby McFerrin.
Oh, yeah.
He had a little hit with this tune.
Plays his cheeks and stuff.
Does he?
Doesn't he? Yeah, doesn't he?
Bobby McFerrin. Well, on his face, yeah.
He plays his face, yeah. Are you going to play this on your face? Or you?
Yeah. No, I'm not. This is one of his tunes, though.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
You know, he's been dangling that catheter over us for weeks now. You just walked into it, but I mean, you know, Jeff here, for those of you at home don't know, we do. When we're off the air, that's when Jeff gets to shine. And this catheter thing is driving us all crazy. We know he's going to come back to it every week. He never gets farther than describing, asking if any of you have catheters or know what a catheter is. then there is some incident in his house involving a catheter, and that's all we know. That's all we've known for a month now. Okay, almost worth the price of admission just to see if you can find out what the catheter is doing in Jeff's house. We got a guy, look at this. Joe Fuller, who's in Fitchburg, sells 3D printers. I didn't even know we could buy one. That's so cool. I want to print something in 3D now. Where is Joe? Can you give me your sales pitch on a 3D printer? Are they affordable, though, Joe, for the average Joe? Come on down here. I want to hear a sales pitch on a 3D printer, and I want to hear about its affordability. And what can a guy do with a 3D printer that he couldn't do with actually having an object, object?
True. Well, these are professional-level 3D printers, so they're sold to manufacturing firms.
Okay.
They are affordable, maybe outside of your budget, though.
Good pitch. Very good pitch.
Typically...
What can we do with our 3D? Let's say we can't afford it.
You can design it, you can print it.
Are we talking about meat product? I know there's a lot of meat, 3D meat printers. Can you do anything on it, depending upon what you have in your cartridge?
Well, what's successful now is being able to prove concepts in a manufacturing environment. Parts.
This is the pitch. I don't understand a word you just said. I mean, I think you're probably right, but I don't know why.
Consumer products, for instance.
Okay. Let's start with that.
Okay. The glasses you're wearing.
What about them? You don't like them.
You could design the frames and print those on a 3D printer.
Okay.
How's that?
Would they be like paper frames then? Or something? I mean, what do you get when you actually print glasses on a 3D printer?
Depends on the material you choose, but typically it's a form of plastic or powder-based material.
Yeah. Can you do 2x4s and can actually do a house? Can you print a house stud by stud?
I hear somebody's trying to do that, yes.
Well, that's helpful. You heard someone's trying to do that. But you're in the business, though. You should know these things.
That's the construction industry, and I'm focused more on manufacturing.
Okay. What is the advantage of printing a 3D object as opposed to just going out and buying one that's already 3D by its very nature?
Say that again.
I mean, objects are all 3D, in our realm, anyhow. And some of them are 4D, even. I don't know. Maybe there's another realm we don't know about. But an object, by definition, would have three dimensions. You could buy a printer, though, and print one up. But there's probably one already around that's already that.
Sure. In the design world, most everything in the past has been designed in 2D. So it gets a little difficult to read 2D design drawings.
Okay.
And some of that can end up in creating errors or making products that are not really ready to be released. Mm-hmm. So by proving out concepts in a 3D fashion, it allows you to explore the concept for form, fit, and function.
Okay. See, that's what I wanted to hear from you. That's all I was trying to get out of you. Thank you, Joe Fuller, Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Mike.
Form, fit, and function. That's all you got to say. Form, fit, and function. Would you go to dinner with Paul Ryan if he paid? Yes. I'd go to dinner with anyone if they paid. I'm funny that way. Are you going to dinner with Paul Ryan? Is he paying? Excuse me, I just got to get past you here, and I don't want to offend you in any way. But rubbing up against you unnecessarily. Yes, would you get up here, please, Sissy? How are you?
Good.
You're from Kansas City, I see here. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
What brings you to our town?
I came for a wedding.
You did? Whose wedding is it?
The Price's wedding.
Price's?
Lauren Price is being married tonight.
Who's she marrying?
She's marrying DJ Keller. obviously, I'm from the bride's side.
You're on the Price side.
Yes, I'm on the Price side.
And it's a nice affair?
Very worth, nice. Yeah.
Country club sort of wedding?
No, it's at the hotel across from the Capitol. Congress. Concord.
The Concord.
Yes,
yeah, well,
Concord.
Very nice place.
Very nice.
And stay for the brunch.
The brunch tomorrow. We'll stay
oh,
for the
yeah.
brunch.
Yeah, they have an excellent brunch. Whatever you want, they got.
Good.
Any one of those guys that slices the roast for you and all that stuff.
All right.
I like a brunch like that. What is the Paul Ryan thing? Have you got a Paul Ryan thing?
I've heard you mention Paul Ryan before, and I just wondered what you...
Yeah. We went to school with her. his wife's parents went to law school with the Littles at the University of Oklahoma.
Have you met the Ryans socially?
No.
Okay. Do I want to? No.
Okay. All right. But would you go to dinner if he paid?
No.
Oh. All right. That's the only difference between us is so far, I see. Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming. Cheese curds, fried or squeaky? Squeaky. I honestly don't get the fried cheese curds. I think it's too much of a good thing or something. I don't know. You know, because they sort of dissolve inside, don't they? When you fry them and you get it, it's got a squeak. Was that you applauding?
Yes. Yes.
Let me get your feeling on this.
I feel like frying cheese curds is ruining perfectly good cheese. Curds.
How long have you felt that way?
Since I learned that fried cheese curds existed.
Yeah. There's no point. It's overkill. You already got your curd there. You don't need to fry it. Although, people fry anything now,
Twinkies.
Have you had a fried Twinkie?
Oh, goodness, no.
That's sort of appealing, actually. I gotta admit. I don't know if the new ones will be as good, though. Okay, so anyhow, that's the answer. Who writes all the news that isn't? Rod Smith wants to know. Where's Rod Smith? Do you like it? Okay, I'll speak to him about it. I'll get back to you on that, Rod Smith. We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz now. Well, you're right here, too. We can do it right here, I guess. Time to play the What Do You Know quiz, and you can win fabulous prizes, but first we must know who can and cannot participate in that quiz, and to that extent we have...
Thomas Baden.
That's what I was going to say. And would you hold that there and just reel those off on the face here, accusers here?
Okay. All right. Number one. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, every baby is a royal baby. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. You're a good man. Did you know that somebody put a Michigan hat on your head?
I did. I married a Wolverine.
Married a Wolverine. Okay. Live to talk about it. Wonderful. All right. You heard that now. If you think you qualify, let's see the hands of those of you who want to try that hand at the... Okay. You're hard to resist. I guess, go walk down here. I got to walk sideways here. So that's okay. Oh, here we go. We can stop and talk here, I guess. Wait, here. We got to stop doing this. It's an odd way to walk sideways, parallel to someone and not know them.
Jerry Gardner.
What? I'm sorry?
Jerry Gardner.
Oh, Jerry Gardner. Oh, that's you then.
It's me.
Jerry Gardner, ladies and gentlemen. Nice to see you. Looking good. Are you here visiting Jerry or?
My son and his girlfriend.
The son and the girlfriend.
Yep.
What are they showing you around town? Anything?
We've seen the lake, and we've seen downtown and the Capitol. We went to a concert at the Capitol.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Yeah. What was the concert agenda there?
The symphony.
Yeah. Did they play any songs you know?
No.
That's why it's a symphony. You never know the songs. Jerry, right? One good reason you should play this quiz.
I've seen Garrison, I've seen Wait, and now the trifecta, the best for last.
It's a public radio hat trick for Jerry. Let's go up here, we can take the ramp. You take the ramp or you take the stairs. Once in a while I take the ramp. Makes more of an entrance. I like to get the entrance thing here. Watch out for the cords though, because it's a lawsuit waiting to happen. That's our next, Jerry. And then have a seat there on the Naga hide next to the emu. Okay. Were you treated this well on any of those shows, Jer?
No.
No. Just saying. Nice to have you here. And is that just over a period of years you've gone to all the shows or just recently?
When they were in Kansas City, yeah.
Oh, just when they came to you?
Yeah.
See?
This is the first time we
That's
came.
That's nice. All right, Jer, what do you do these days, Jer?
I am a Metro bus driver.
Oh, you are? You're the guy who's been driving for 25 years? Really? You got any breaks in that 25 years? It's straight through? Or?
Straight through, yeah. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
How do you, does it ever get boring on that route, or are you pretty much...
No, I drive a route called Troost, and everything happens on Troost.
Yeah. Really? Well, that's interesting. How much is a bus ride in Kansas City these
$1.50.
$1.50.
Or all day for $3.
All day for $3? Wow, that's not so bad. They give transfers?
Oh, yeah. But
they do?
Our transfers aren't transferable.
Then how can you call them transfers, really?
If you wanted to get on one bus to the other, but you couldn't give your transfer to another person.
How are you going to know that?
Because when you slice it, it says pass back, and then we have to throw you off the bus. And we, I kind of like doing that, but.
Did you ever let that slide if you think, well.
Yeah.
You got to once in a while.
Yeah.
You got to. And then, so what do you, what does a bus driver do for recreation? You don't go out, you don't have an RV or something, right?
No.
No.
My wife drives when we're on vacation.
Is she a good driver?
Yeah. And. Yeah. But she, I've been doing this for 25 years,
yeah.
Won awards, stuff like that. Mm. She doesn't think I'm a good driver.
No. Because the wheel's in a different place on a family car, though. You can't do this thing with the, what do? You rest your arms on it and then just kind of move it? Because it's more horizontal, isn't it? Your bus
wheel? About the same, yeah.
About the same? Oh, okay. I thought that was a little different. So, and where do you go on these trips? Do you do cross-country things and all that?
No, we up here to Madison. Oh. We've Colorado, around Midwest.
Are you a backseat driver when
no,
she's driving?
No, like I tell her, I would, when you're driving, I never say, what are you doing wrong? Mm-hmm. But when I'm driving, she always tells me what I'm doing wrong.
And you're a professional.
That's what she's I tell her every day.
Oh, well, you seem to have a good attitude about it. It'll work out. Jer, someone there plays along with you. How do they do that, Sarah?
People who want to play the quiz, they pick up their phones and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Here it is. Who or what is Carlos Danger?
Ooh.
Who or what is Carlos Danger? If you know, give us a call here. Oh, you've called already, I see. Okay, let's see if you do know. Go to the phones right now. Here's Bill in Hale's Corners. Hey, Bill.
Hello. How are you doing?
How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
I'm good. They still got the Speedway out by you?
No, it's gone. It's a Menards now.
It's a what?
It's a Menards now.
No, the Menards Speedway? That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Bill, who or what is Carlos Danger?
I think Carlos Danger is Anthony Weiner's texting name.
Yes.
Non de plume.
His little pet name for it. Okay. Congratulations. That's right, Bill. You're a good man. Bill, I want to introduce you to your partner in crime here. This is Jer from Kansas City.
Hey, Jer, how are you doing today?
Doing good.
Okay, you two guys are a team now, okay? So you work together, and okay?
Got it.
I want you to get along. And Sarah, what categories do we have?
We have current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Bill, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Things you should have learned in school.
Okay, school it is. Dolphins, .. and names. Fill in the dots. Dolphins and names.
Dolphins call each other. They know the names of other dolphins, or they call each other dolphins.
Okay, they use their names.
Yeah.
They call each other by name. Bill, you go along with that, or?
I'll buy that.
That's right. Very interesting. And nicknames, even. Pejorative occasionally. That's amazing. Okay, and that would be...
That's one right and zero wrong.
Good start. What's left there?
Current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends?
People.
Okay, people. Do women actually need that sweater they bring everywhere, even in summer?
Yes.
Yes, Jer says, with a resigned look.
the fact that it's 55 degrees right now, I would say so.
Yes, yes, they do, because they have hotter cores but cooler extremities. Yes. Congratulations, yes. And here's a man who knows after all these years. And yes.
The categories remaining are current events, places, science, or odds and ends, and the score currently is 2 right and 0 wrong.
Oh, good. Nice turnaround there.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
All right, back to you, Bill. What would you like?
Yeah, how about current events?
Current events, right out of the news or not. What kind of a squirrel could shut down the Los Angeles National Forest?
Wow.
A squirrel, a single squirrel, shut down the entire Los Angeles National Forest recently.
I have no idea.
A sick squirrel.
Huh?
A sick one.
A sick squirrel? Okay, sick. You mean like a plague-ridden squirrel, something like that?
Yes, that's exactly what I meant.
I'll go with that.
Yes, that's right. He had plague. He wasn't that big or anything. He just did have the plague. Holy cow. They won the quiz. That was dynamic.
And quick.
And quick.
Yes.
What could they do now?
Well, they could risk it all and go for the mother load. One more question. One right answer.
If they don't get that right, what happens?
Then they go home with nothing.
With
Jim,
nothing.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
Okay, they're going for it. Yet. Let's give them a little encouragement here. Come on. Got to get it right or you lose everything. But, you know, that's going to happen. I know. What's left there, Sarah?
Places, science, or odds and ends?
Places, science, odds and ends. Is it back to you, Jeremy?
Places.
Places. This could be anywhere, I think. Yes. Germans are the biggest worriers in Europe. Who are the most carefree in Europe? Is it the Austrians, the Poles, or the Irish?
Wow. Well, my first guess would probably be the Irish.
First guess?
I'd go along with that.
The Irish. We do have an Irish, some Irish individuals here. Are you worried about anything right now?
No.
They are not worried. So you say Irish.
I'll say Irish.
Irish is right. Congratulations.
Yay! All
right.
Jerry, you and a guest will go to Madison's historic Majestic Theater on August 6th to hear English singer-songwriter Frank Turner. He has his own signature beer and went to college with Prince William. The prince, however, is unlikely to be at the Majestic with you. Then boost your summer reading program with Alec Fugue's The Tinkerers, the amateurs, DIYers, and inventors who make America great from Basic Books. Continue with The Science Delusion, Asking the Big Questions in a Culture of Easy Answers by Curtis White from Melville House. Enjoy Rudolf Herzog's blackly sardonic short history of nuclear folly, translated by Jefferson Chase from the German Der Verstalte Westernhelden andere Irrsing aus dem Atomzeitalter, also from Melville House, and learn about the father of the atomic bomb reading Ray Monk's weighty Robert Oppenheimer, A Life Inside the Center from Doubleday. Bill, begin your day with a cup of Stiefenbrew's breakfast blend and relax later in the day with smooth Costa Rican terrazu from Madison Stiefenbrew Coffee. That's coffee done right. And then keep the blazing sun from your eyes with a cap from Michigan Radio. Cool off listening to the CD Wild Woods and Waters by the Blue Canvas Orchestra from Big Top Chautauqua. Write a letter like they did in ye olden days with a pen from the Nebraska Shakespeare Festival. And find out why you probably shouldn't ask, prenez-vous des pommes frites que je peux me marier? In What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Derek,
thank you.
Thank you. Glenn, thanks for all you do, bus drivers, the heroes of our time. Never get recognized. We do. Thanks a lot, Bill. Hang on. We'll make sure you get that stuff.
Bayfield What Do You Know fans will be under the big top next week, Saturday, August 3rd. Call 715-373-5552 or follow the links on notmuch.com for ticket information. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's our town of the week, Eagle River, Wisconsin. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Thank you. now, the man who says, hopefully Kate and Will are just going to have the one, it's Michael Feldman.
So how far did you get on that catheter?
Not far.
Huh? I had to go empty mine, so I... All right, well, anyhow, each week at this time, we read actual memos. Don't we?
We do.
Where are they, then?
Sent in by actual listeners.
Yes. Good point. Not all memos, of course. Let's see. This is more of a notice stuck up on something here. It's Michael. I confess I was in a hurry and bypassed the busy men's room and ended up in the ladies' room. While doing God's work, I peeled off this memo from the toilet paper dispenser. Seriously, just for you, Mike Barrett. It says, appears to be legitimate. Help us save the environment. Use both sides of the tissue. Okay.
I'm confused. He was doing God's work in the ladies' room?
Yes. Where else would you do it? Okay. Oh, here's... Now, this gentleman was on the show last week on the quiz. I remember he called in and he was making dinner. He was making some stew, I believe, or no, chili. And he was going to bake a pie, and we voted on what pie he should make. He's apple pie, or he was going to make a... cherry blueberry pie. Overwhelmingly, we said cherry blueberry, and he says he made it. I just want to say thanks for choosing me to play the quiz. I had a great time. It was good talking to you, and the cherry blueberry pie came out pretty darn good, if I say so myself. And that's from Michael. Michael with an N. Let's hear it. Cherry blueberry. And he's there. He's in Vermont, so the blueberries were fresh and everything. All right. Then we got this is also not a memo. What is it, though? They celebrate birthdays differently in Florida, apparently. Noble's birthday party, 2013. In the student language activities building. 6 to 7 cocktail reception. 7 to 8:30 p.m. dinner and dancing and presents. 8:30 to who knows when. Cornhole, dancing, and beer pong. Okay, so it's all cornhole and beer pong. So,
Okay. That's bags. You know what that is, right?
Huh?
Cornhole. Is that you throw those bags?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, I knew that.
Yeah.
Here's the actual memo, though, sent in by an actual listener, and it reads as follows: This memo was sent to staff here at work, with the subject line "Refrigerator Etiquette." If you have been drinking out of a container that looks like the attached photo, between the hours of 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. please stop. This is a special drink I make in the mornings for myself. However, since for the second day in a row you have enjoyed half of my drink, I will be more than happy to provide you with the recipe. Be forewarned, I have been researching urine therapy, and you may become a beneficiary of its many benefits. So thank you very much for that memo, and probably very effective, I would think, to stop that therapy. Yes.
If people have memos they would like to share, they can send them
Where
to...
Where can they send them if they have those memos?
Well, if they have memos that they would like to share,
I know.
They can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there, where, of course, they will also find ticket information for Madison shows and other kinds of shows.
Do you find that the tops of your knees tan unevenly?
Yes, I do.
With the rest
yeah.
of you?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's something to do with the distress under which my jeans...
Under a lot of distress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice, though.
Yeah.
And speaking of you, each week at this time, some weeks not at all, but this week, yes, we honor a town, a village, or burg somewhere across the U.S. and our rearranged map of the same. Here with our town of the week is Sarah Nix.
About 4 hours north of here on this side of the border from that weird part of Michigan that should probably be part of Wisconsin, you'll find the town of Eagle River. The area was the first permanent First Nations settlement in the region more than 3,000 years before the Common Era. Mm-hmm. Those people were the likely ancestors of the Chippewa, Potawatomi, and Menominee people who were living there when European settlers moved into the area in the mid-1800s. Lots of logging camps went up in those north woods, and the area was thick with loggers, trappers, and fur traders. The town's economy is still built on the national resources that abound up there. Take one look at a map and you'll know what the town's famous for: lakes, forests, and rivers. Eagle River is, of course, on the Eagle River, which is part of one of the world's longest chain of lakes, a full 28 lakes long. With a population of about 1,500 people, these days Eagle River is a tourism town. People come from all over to fish and swim and boat and paddle. There are boat-in hotels, restaurants, and golf courses, and fear not, if you're more interested in the quiet side, some lakes are motor-free, so there's less chance that you'll capsize your kayak. If you're tired of watery activities and want to catch some local sports heroes, the Northland Pines High School Eagles are the team to watch. Eagle River is also only about 2.5 hours south-southeast of where we'll be under the canvas next week at Big Top Chautauqua in Bayfield, so come see us. And that's our town of the week. It's Eagle River, Wisconsin.
Beautiful Eagle River, Wisconsin. We used to go there. Dad would take us on our, you know, boys only, me and Arthur and Dad. And that's where I learned how to drive, through the woods on a dirt path, which I made it through except for the last tree. I actually piled up my dad's car, 61 Chevy, on the very last, because I panicked. I don't know, and I hit the gas. Did you ever have that moment? When you were a kid, my dad would teach me, and he'd make me nervous something, so I'd sometimes hit the wrong pedal, and I actually hit the gas, smacked the very last tree in the woods, which is good, because there's actually a lake right beyond that, so it could have been a lot worse. Could have drowned my dad. That would have been a bad feeling. And I remember driving home. We were driving home from Eagle River, and the headlight was, we were at night, the headlight was shining in the treetops on that side all the way home, and I felt really bad. But that's it's a great place and a big resort area. A lot of people go there and they fish and what have you. And we got someone from there now, Jake Alward from Eagle River, our town of the week. Hey, Jake.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good.
Are you in the recreation business there, or resort business? Or?
We are. Yes.
Yeah. What do you got there?
Well, we've got the Chanticleer Inn.
Chanticleer Inn.
Just outside of Eagle River, we've got
eight villas
right by the waterside, 17 rooms, 20 condominiums, and a private home.
Wow.
Restaurant, lounge, pontoon boat rentals.
Boy, Eagle River has gone upscale since our day. It was just me, and we had this little cabin and stuff, but we had Dad used to make toast on the grill, on the open fire.
Oh, yes.
On the stove.
We have toasters now.
We have toasters. See, that's an amazing difference from what we had.
Electricity.
Electricity and all that stuff.
Well,
that sounds really nice. Are you busy?
It's been a good summer. We're fighting the elements right now. It's a little cool and misty out.
Uh-huh.
But it's been nice. The lakes are up to about almost where they should be in water level. The temperature of the water is great.
Mm-hmm.
People are having a great time on the water and in the water.
And what lake is that there?
We're on Voyager Lake. It's part of the 28 lake chain.
Yeah.
That Sarah was just talking about.
Uh-huh.
And for boating and pontooning, skiing, tubing, fishing, it's wonderful.
Do any of those conflict? Because I know fishermen don't really like, you know, pontoons coming through their lines and that sort of thing.
Well, I think there's enough room here for everybody. if one, that's the beauty of the chain. If one lake is a little busy, go to another lake. If one area is busy, go to another area. And there's enough room for everybody.
And what are they bringing in there? What are these guys pulling out?
Well, this water is Class A musky water.
Uh-huh.
So we're well known for a number of musky tournaments and general musky fishing. Walleye, panfish are right in there, too.
Yeah. And get any big muskies so far?
I haven't heard of any, but 40 inches is not uncommon. 40 plus.
Okay, I'm not going to touch that line with it. What?
Especially in the fall.
In the fall. So
we're
looking more, you know, a little bit further on yet is when they start to divide.
For real good musky tournaments.
Yeah. Is that because the muskies are mating at that point? Or?
Well, I'm not a fisherman. I don't really know. I thought it was the cooler water just
cooler
makes
water.
It more active.
Yeah. Oh, it makes you more active. Okay. Well, so does mating, though, really.
Right.
Could be either way.
You're absolutely correct.
Chanticleer. And are you a native of the area, Jake? Or?
Well, not quite. I've only been here 61 years.
61 years. Okay.
Yeah.
You're still an outsider.
So I'm still I was 3 years old when we moved up here. My parents bought this place in 1951.
Yeah. From where'd they move from?
Yeah, Chicago area.
Okay.
And then I bought it from them in 72, so been running it ever since then.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And so pretty much good. You're filled up there, pretty much. Still room if we want to come up?
There seems to always be room. So yeah. Don't ever think it's too late. We've got an 800 number. We've got a website. Just give us a call or look at the website for ChanticleerInn.com. And we'll help you out, whether it be lodging or dining or
you name it,
or boating.
You name it. You got it all. And you know, I never say, is there actually a town of Eagle River? I mean, is there a town?
Oh, yes.
Yes, because yes. I don't remember ever seeing it.
Yeah, the town is 1 square mile.
1 square mile.
Of Eagle River, but then it's the Eagle River area that is the large population. Not, like she had said, 1,500 people live in town in that square mile.
Mm-hmm.
But many people live outside of the town. We're actually 3 miles from Eagle River.
Yeah.
On the water. And that's the beauty. We don't have any noise of the city. We're rural. We've got 1,200 feet of frontage on that the accommodations look over. We've got 2 swimming beaches.
Yeah.
Tennis.
You name it.
Great place.
I guess you have, actually.
Eagle River's a great place to come up and relax and enjoy. We've got a variety of things in the area to...
What if they don't feel like doing any of those things, though? What have you got people who don't feel like doing any of that stuff? Do you have any?
Well, there's always the store. The town's got some nice stores.
Some stores, yeah.
Beautiful area to take a drive.
Is there a casino nearby or something if you don't really want to do anything outdoors?
Yep. We've got one to the north and one to the west.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Good fudge shops, candy store, other stores, souvenirs and clothing stores.
So, Jake, I think what you're saying is there's something in Eagle River for every taste.
We certainly think so.
Okay, sounds good. Jake, I want to thank you for your time here. We will have something for you from our neck of the woods, just to thank you for your time.
We will be sending you the pride of America's Dairyland in a scrumptious selection of 10 premium certified organic cheeses and butters from Lafarge, Wisconsin's Organic Valley family of farms.
Thanks, Jake.
Thank you very much.
Jake Alward. You too. The Chanticleer man, Jake Alward, from our time of the week, Eagle River. Ladies and gentlemen. You want to do the? Why don't you do the dart thing, because they like to see.
Oh,
you
yeah,
do that.
We should do that.
Yes.
So somebody needs to throw the dart so we can know what our next town of the week is.
Or someone needs to get the dart first.
Oh, he looks very excited.
No,
we have a dart.
You got to do this officially now.
Yes, okay.
Take off your
headphones. Okay,
here we go. Take this. Yes. Go ahead. Who wants to throw the dart for the town of the week?
The dart, though.
Oh. I
forgot the dart.
Okay, here's the dart. Great.
Very
you might have to
don't
come
get
up
too
here.
Excited. It's not that exciting.
I'm not going to walk down those stairs because I'll fall. There you go. Very good. Oh, first I have to ask your name.
My name's Aaron Kidwell.
And where are you from?
Columbus, Ohio.
Well, welcome. Dart away.
Oh, he closed his eyes.
Very good. What is it? Toccoa, Georgia. I'm probably pronouncing it.
Probably.
Thank you very much.
Our town of the week next week. Okay. Hi.
Hi. I have no medical device stories.
Yeah.
Jeff will be appearing with the Mike Smith Quartet this coming Tuesday at the Jazz Showcase in Chicago.
Oh.
If anybody wants to check him
Mike
out.
Mike Smith
Quartet.
Quartet, yeah.
He's a tenor, alto saxophone player.
Didn't he? I thought he was a tenor player.
No. I mistakenly said that last week. And
oh, and it's just fixed in my brain.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I seared it there. Now everything's wrong.
It's just a different size.
Yeah.
Yeah. The same theory behind it and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anything else you want to...
He's with Matty Ellis in Milwaukee on Monday
night.
Well,
I mean you, though. What are you doing?
Oh, me? I'll be tonight. I'll be at home in my nice recliner. Watching a little television, I think.
What are you going to watch?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
There's some mixed martial arts. There's some boxing.
Yeah, do you like the mixed martial arts?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And then sometimes I don't. So, you know, you never know.
Depends on the who's doing it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Is that legitimate, that sport?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to
be... Come on, is it really?
I don't want to be kicked in the head, do you?
it's totally legitimate? It's not... I mean, it's sort of like...
Yeah. It's not wrestling. That's something different.
Well, we know that's legitimate.
It's not, you know, it's not like baseball.
Is it in the Olympics?
There is, I think they do have one, what do they have?
Like an exhibition type?
Yeah, I think it's...
mixed martial arts, is it in the Olympics?
They don't have a mixed martial arts, but they do have one like karate or something. Well, they have judo and...
And are you allowed to choose which martial arts you're going to use?
Well, that's the...
In any event.
That's the art of it. You're trying to figure out what somebody's going to use on you.
But you could use any one of them that you want as long as they're one of the martial arts.
Yeah.
Guns, no.
No. Knives, no.
Guns, knives.
weapons, ropes, chains.
Are you allowed to bite?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, not on purpose.
Okay. All right, just wondering about that. So that's you'll be doing that tonight. And then anything else?
Well, we're driving up to Bayfield next week.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think apparently there's still some tickets available.
At Bayfield, at the Big Top?
Yeah.
Okay. How would someone find out about that?
Oh, they would. How would they find out about that, Sarah?
They would call 715-373-5552 or go to notmuch.com and find ticket information there.
Yeah, it's going to be.
And it'll be lots of fun.
It is lots of fun. It's fun being in the big tent there.
Yeah.
Now this song here.
If ever, this is kind of a philosophical song.
If ever I would leave you, that one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Begins with a conditional. I like a song that begins with a conditional phrase. Yeah. And here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Huh?
Me too.
Okay. Maybe we should, you know, you want to finish the blues lick thing?
No.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. But you know what? Like that was, if ever leave you, your solo on that was really dynamic, I thought. Could we slow it down so we could hear what that sound, because it went so fast. That I think a lot of people miss some of the.
That's a good point. I'd be happy to.
Slow it down.
Okay,
just slow it down. This is the solo from that. Remember, take it from the
bridge.
From the bridge.
Hey, do we break it to Michael?
There
wasn't a solo.
Well, let's just say what you were doing on
right.
that
right.
side.
Right, had there been a solo.
Yeah, you then do what you're doing.
Sure.
But slow it down so we can hear each
right,
where
like
you go with it.
A section, John? She's super slow.
Do the A section.
Yeah. Not that slow.
Now, because you miss a lot of that. You miss a lot of that.
You do.
It goes by pretty fast, because it played in real time now.
Sure, in real time.
Real time. See. Oh, knock it off. You're kidding around. Okay.
Piano jazz. That?
Jeff Hammond on the bass. John Tooling on the piano. And together they are those two guys. Have you ever been stuck in a car with your family for a month? Oh, my God, this is like torture. Eighth grade student? Yeah? Is it Maddie Brown? Is that you?
Yeah.
How are you holding up, Maddie?
I'm getting through it.
You're getting through
it? I'm getting through it.
In the car for a month?
Well, we've been on a cross-country trip, and it's been a lot of driving.
A lot of driving. Did you always do these kind of long trips?
Nope, this is our first one.
First one. Whose idea was this?
Look at that man over there.
That would be your dad?
Yes.
Okay. Don't look at him again, though, because it's going to be intimidating, and we're talking about it. And so, I mean, where did you start, and where are you supposed to end?
We started in our home in Connecticut. We went to Niagara, then to places I can't name in order, but it hasn't really been like entire country, right?
Yeah. You sound a little fatigued, I'll be honest with you.
Sorry, it's been a while.
Been a while, okay. So you don't know how you got here from Niagara, apparently.
We drove, saw places, that's it.
Saw places, did things, ate bad food, slept in lousy beds, pretty much.
Yeah, and tents, a couple of tents.
Oh, and tents.
And sleeping bags, stuff like that, you know, camping.
Did you camp the whole way?
No, not the whole way. We stopped at a few hotels and some hostels.
Yeah. And speaking of hostels, you sound a little like you're pretty much done with this whole family vacation idea.
Thank you, yes.
And you had to do it. Is this your brother here, don't you?
Yep, this is Aiden.
Do you guys get along pretty well? Do you guys get along?
No, not really.
So that always adds.
I've texted with him for quite some time, so yeah. That's been enjoyable.
Yeah, that sounds like my brother Arthur used to hit me in the arm with, you know, one of those knuckle punches for like 1,000 miles.
Oh.
You realize you never
don't
use
give
your.
Don't any ideas.
No, you never use. You know, you put the knuckle in there. You know, you do the knuckle in there like that, and get, you know, that really. No, don't do it to him. I already did it. He's gonna feel that even. That always adds to a trip. You have the added.
Oh, that's gonna be scary.
So how much longer you got on the road now?
Like about a week left, I think.
Yeah, a little less than a week. And so, where are you headed from here? You're pretty excited about the.
Yeah, I am. I can't wait to get back home and see my friends again.
Yeah. They probably all moved on, don't you think, by now?
Yeah, probably.
Well, it sounds just great. It reminds me of my old friend. We used to go places like we saw the locks at Sault Ste. Marie for some reason. How many gallons of water? I used to know how many gallons it took to raise a ship in the locks of Sault Ste. Marie. Did you go there?
No. But did we? No.
You might want to head up that way on the way back. You know?
Right. Yeah. We'll.
Take a long way around.
Oh, boy.
Don't we have something for Maddie and for the family?
Yeah, we have a way to make the drive even more interminable. That is the
wine.
Well, I was thinking more like the Flashmaster.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Which is, by the way, a handheld computer that makes math flashcards obsolete. Because, you know, it's summer vacation.
Isn't that exciting? That really puts, that's icing on the cake of this ordeal.
It'd be a good choice.
She gets a Flashmaster.
Yeah.
Isn't there something else that you can...
There's wine, but they may be a little young for that.
No, you can't really.
There's a T-shirt.
That would be good. That would be good if they're pulled over by the trooper, coming through
right.
Michigan. That would
that's
be a
right.
really good thing.
That's right. Yeah. T-shirt?
Huh?
A T-shirt?
What would you like? Anything?
Tickets to Bayfield?
Game or something?
Sure.
How about a game or something? Give them a game.
A game?
Yeah.
How about the What Do You Know party game?
Yeah.
Including a brilliant audience, great contestants, and the Michael Feldman bobblehead.
The bobblehead. Good luck, Dan. Nice to meet you as well. Going back to Connecticut. Sooner the better. I can get that feeling. Boy, our family trips are always like that, too. Have you ever been to Denmark? No. Oh. Henrik Kingo. Is that right? Or close?
Henrik Kingo.
That's what I said. Yeah. Why are you imitating me, Henrik?
What?
Why are you imitating me? That's just what I said. Come on down here. Let's meet you. This is Henrik, everybody. He's from Denmark. It says here, where'd you graduate from?
School.
God, you're just like an American kid. There's no difference, I can tell. A little taller, maybe.
Yeah.
What sort of school did you go to?
A normal school, I guess.
A normal school?
Yeah.
Were you normal when you started, or you just end up that way?
Yeah, always normal.
In Denmark, how does it work? Do you go to the schools, you go to either the trade school, or you go on to academic college or something?
You go first grade and then up to ninth grade, and then you go, continue to another kind of school.
Well, it's just like here then, I guess, pretty much. I'm sorry that I didn't. Maybe. Yeah. So what are you going to do now? Where are you going?
I'm going to take 10th grade. That's optional. And then
10th grade is optional? That's a good idea.
You can choose to get it, to have it, or not. So
what are you thinking? You think you're going to do it?
Yeah, because I'm young and...
You got your whole 11th grade ahead of you.
Yeah.
10th grade, so then you could skip it and go right to 11th, or just take a year off and maybe go fishing?
There's no 11th grade.
Oh, it ends at 10.
Yeah, kind of.
And then you go to university?
You go to, gymnasiums.
Gymnasiums?
Yeah.
So you don't have to go to school anymore, you just go to the gymnasium at that point.
It's still schools, but not, you don't call it school. You call it gymnasium. So,
well, is there a ball involved or any sort of push-ups or?
Well, you choose this different kind of angle or way to go. You could go higher Technikon gymnasium, which I'm going to do. Or you could choose to be a lawyer or like take different kind of...
So that's where it divides at that point, after 10th.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. And what are you thinking of? Which way are you going?
Mechanic.
Mechanic?
Yeah.
Like an engineer type mechanic?
Car mechanic.
A car mechanic.
So.
Good man. All right. And then why are you here? Visiting someone, or are you...
Well, I came here for 2 weeks. My English teacher kind of made this trip. And then I'm here for 2 weeks with the Smiths, Rod and Marilyn.
Yes.
Over there.
Yeah.
And I'm leaving.
Is it much like your home, or is it greatly different?
Greatly different.
Yeah.
So, but it's a good way, different. And I'm leaving on Monday, so.
You know, you could get on this trip here, going back to Connecticut, and really see the country. It's an excellent opportunity because you're seeing all. She can't remember anything she saw, but I'm sure there are a lot of things, and you'd learn a little more about the country. If you might talk to them.
I might do that.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
Henry, nice to have you here. Thanks for joining us. And how are we doing, timeline? Okay. We got to say hello to our Irish sisters, don't we? You can't have Irish sisters in the audience and not talk to them or want to get close to them and find out how they're doing, maybe. And, you know, hang with them a little bit because it seems like the thing to do. Just be here. I don't want to step on anyone. Hi there. Can I get you both to stand up here now? The Irish sisters. I can't keep calling you that. Your names are?
Mairead. Breed.
Mairead and Breed?
Yeah, it's Irish for Margaret.
Oh.
It's pronounced like parade with an M, so Mairead.
Oh, Mairead.
Breed.
Pronounced like Breed?
Breed.
Okay. Now, but you're from around here originally?
No, we're both from Ireland. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Breed moved over here about 3 years ago.
Oh.
So I'm a high school teacher, so I get about 3 months off every summer. So I come over here probably for a month every summer.
Yeah. So what brought you here in the first place?
I work for an Irish company over here.
Yeah. When is that?
Kerry Ingredients.
And what do they do?
They make food ingredients.
That's where the ingredients come from, and they're actually food ingredients.
Yes, yes.
I thought of making them on a 3D printer because I got a guy.
Very interesting. I might have a chat with him later.
So are you doing a sisters kind of thing here? Do you get kind of wild and crazy here? What goes on?
Oh, yeah. We bit of everything. Yeah, we see the local night spots, and we went out for food last night, and then we're on a talk show. I've never done this before, so this is fantastic. Like,
in the night spots, pretty good.
Oh yeah. They're good.
Are you dancers? Do you dance? You go out?
No. We're more sit
karaoke?
Up.
Karaoke? More karaoke?
No. I'm afraid I wasn't blessed with a voice for singing at all.
Yeah.
No.
Spot was it then?
We just do the bars.
Just the bars.
We're Irish, like, so.
Okay. And then how long are you gonna be with us?
I go home on Tuesday, so I've been here since the 24th of June, so it's time to go home.
Could be worse, believe me. It could be on the slow road to Connecticut. That could be worse. Well, nice to have you both here. And then, so what's going on tonight? You're gonna do a little more of a carousing.
We're thinking about going to Milwaukee for today.
Milwaukee.
Yeah. So. Look around there for a while.
Yeah, look around. Tell me what you find. That's my hometown, actually.
Oh, really? Do you recommend anywhere?
No. I recommend leaving at a certain point in your life as soon as possible. You know, I'm out of touch with it, but I'm sure you'll have a good time. Very nice to meet you both.
You too.
There you have it. All right. We're, what?
We could play the quiz.
Okay. All right. I didn't know what your gesture meant.
Yeah. You know.
It was kind of a shrug and yeah. Kind of a...
We could play it. Somebody here probably wants to, so...
All right, well, let's find out.
Want to give them the opportunity.
Sarah's implying that someone here would like to have a chance at the What Do You Know quiz. You saw how it went in the first hour, and it went remarkably well, actually. And, okay, come on. How are you?
Fine. Getting back from a little trip ourselves.
Yeah, where were you?
We started in Long Island, and we've come around... and visit my cousins in Minnesota, and then we're heading back through Canada.
Through Canada, that's the long way, isn't it, to Long Island?
It's the only way to get to the Bills training camp.
Really? That's where you're going?
Yes. Yeah, I'm a big Bills fan.
Okay. And your Your name is?
Russ.
Russ, give me one good reason why you should be playing this quiz.
Because I've got 1,800 miles in this trip so far.
1,800. And he ain't done yet. Come on down here. Russ. Walk this way. Have a seat there, if you will, Russ. I think that water is still good. I don't think you can drink. I can give you a new one if you want.
No, I'm fine.
You sure?
Yep.
Okay, we got to hydrate, you know. What about those bills, huh?
It's going to be a rough year.
Is it?
It's gonna...
I must say I don't follow the bills, but who are we looking at here in terms of a promising future on the bills?
We've got a brand new rookie quarterback that we're going to see how it works out. We've got a good defense this year, and it looks promising on that end. But we've got to get a good line to keep our quarterback healthy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And who is this rookie? Which one did you get?
EJ, and I can't remember his last name now.
Yeah.
Manuel, thank you.
That sounds promising if you can't remember his name. Okay.
I'm stunned by being with you here.
Yeah,
today.
I know. I have that effect on people. Or maybe they were stunned before they met me. I have no idea. But so, are you going to training camp?
Yep. Going there for Friday. No, Monday.
Are you going to be a walk-on? Are you going to try and make the team?
No.
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 Did you play football?
My sport. Only when I was a real little kid.
Yeah.
I coach track and field now.
Oh, you do, yeah?
Yeah, throw a shot put and discus, and my head coach blessed me with the fact that I'll be coaching pole vault next year.
Pole vault?
Yeah.
Do you have to demonstrate that in order to teach it?
They don't make poles that big. Well, they do. They're telephone poles, and that's a caber toss. It's a different thing.
What is the trick in pole vaulting? What do they recommend you do?
I actually found out that really the trick is timing and bravery.
Yeah.
You just got to be willing to ride the pole. Yeah. And
because it seems impossible. Maybe I think too much to be a pole vaulter, but it doesn't seem like it's humanly possible. To do what they do.
It doesn't
run with a long, long pole, stick it in the ground, and fling yourself over.
It's exactly what I said when he told me that. I really thought he was kidding, because those of you who are here can tell I'm a little larger than the average guy.
Yeah.
And pole vaulters are really tiny people. But
some are pretty tall, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're really small, thin people.
Thin, yeah.
But I happened to go to a great camp this summer to learn how to coach, and it's really not that difficult as long as you hit your positions right. It's really safe.
Yeah. So it's not so much about the mechanics of it, though. It's more the psychology of inspiring your athletes. Is that it?
Does
it teach you in coach camp?
Yeah. It's about getting them to trust in the techniques you teach them.
Uh-huh.
If you don't get them there, they're never going to be a good pole vaulter.
Yeah. And to feel good about themselves and...
Well,
and their coach.
Well, it's not about...
It's like the Stockholm Syndrome, isn't it? You got to love your coach like he is actually your jailer.
You're very close.
Yeah.
Really, that's one of the best things about coaching track and field is every kid can have a championship day because all they have to do is do better than they've ever done before or learn something new.
Yeah.
So that's what I tell them, and that's what I hope they do.
Yeah. And the shot put, that's the other one I never
Yeah, I've been very lucky. This year, my number one girl shot putter took New York State Championship.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't.
Yeah. And what's the trick there? Because, I mean, they made us do that in school, too. And some guys could do it, but it would fall in my lap usually when I tried to throw it. And that's painful. Shot.
Even worse.
Sit down, John.
The trick with shot put is it's not upper body strength, it's lower body speed.
Oh.
The faster you go across that circle, the further your distance.
Yeah, but you have to have a certain build and stamina.
Yeah, but that's more of that is genetic than anything else. It's whether
I know,
or not you
I mean,
can,
I didn't have it, and so I was. What was even the point of making me do that?
You got to try things to.
Yeah, to know that you can't do them.
No.
So it's what'd you say? Body speed?
It's lower body speed.
Lower body speed.
Yeah, and agility. That's what we spend most of our time working on.
Yeah, well, that's interesting too.
Yeah,
very interesting. Russ.
Yes.
You know this quiz works. Someone out there plays along with you.
Yes.
Okay, did you know that? Okay, I just I'll tell you something that you know, but that's the way it works. And how do they do that, Sarah?
People who want to play the quiz dial 1-800-942-5669 and answer correctly this qualifying question.
Okay, which I am getting now. The latest near-Earth object, asteroid 2013 Northeast 19, didn't come all that near. I want to know how close did it actually get. They call them near-Earth objects. They're not all that near. So how close, within how many miles should they get?
500.
Within 500 miles?
Okay, no, 200.
Like I say, it didn't come all that close.
100.
Oh, never mind. How many, in terms of millions of miles?
Oh.
How many?
One.
Okay, fine. We'll work that out when we get to it. Let's go to the phones right now. Cindy's on the line from Lakeview, Arkansas. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine. Are you relaxing today, or you got things to do?
I'm not. I'm working. I have a resort on Bull Shoals Lake.
Oh, you got a resort.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
I'm cleaning cabins today.
Cleaning cabins, the beauty of owning a resort.
Yes.
You get to clean the cabins yourself.
It never ends.
Never ends, huh? Boy. This is busy season for you? Good year?
Yes, it's very good.
Yeah. So you want to, can you take a break here? And
yeah.
A few minutes? Okay. We had a near-Earth object come by, an asteroid, recently, last week. I want to know how close did it actually get? It wasn't that near the Earth, but in millions of miles, how close was it to the Earth?
2.5 million miles.
Did you know that for a fact, Cindy?
I heard it.
You heard it?
I heard it on the news somewhere.
And you remember, you're exactly right. Congratulations. Throw away that mop. Excellent. Yeah. 2.6, but we'll let that go. Okay.
Oh, thanks.
Within 100 miles here. Okay.
Cutting some slack.
Yeah. Can you spare the time to do this now? Because.
Sure.
Yeah. You got someone coming in a couple hours?
Yeah.
Okay. Let them wait. tell them the room's not ready yet.
I'll just gesture to them. Go on in your cabin.
Give another cab. Cindy, this is Russ. He's your partner here in crime.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Russ.
And the two of you should cover a lot of bases here, okay? So you work together as a team, we cooperate. That's just how we are. And then how does that work then?
Well, they choose a category.
Yeah.
Current events,
so
people...
So you're saying we have categories.
We do. We do, in fact, have categories. And
yeah. Are there any categories you recommend?
I think that odds and ends is always interesting.
Okay. Well, should you tell them what all the categories
sure,
are just
sure.
in case they don't feel that way?
There's current events, there's people, there's places, there's things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, there is science, and there is also odds and ends.
Okay. Cindy, you pick first one. What would you like?
How about science?
Since science.
Batting a thousand there.
Okay. Does the female African jacana, a shorebird, choose her mates for body or brain?
A jacana?
Jacana. It's a shorebird.
It's a shorebird.
Yeah.
What do you think, Brad?
Water bird, shorebirds.
Brain? Pure guess.
I'd go along with that just because it's a crazy question.
Well, I'm sorry. It's body. No.
Aww.
Yeah. The female, they're polygamous. Or she is. I mean, she has several mates. I'll tell you
that
much.
She's not polygamous.
But they're all known for having small brains. So,
that sadly,
well, maybe she's flipping.
Yeah, could be.
That's sadly zero right and one wrong.
Yeah, okay. Don't worry about it. Sure. You'll come back from this. What's left there, Sarah?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Current events.
Okay, don't trust your instinct this time, Russ. I never trust my instinct anymore. I learned. Adding insult to injury of the injury of 1865, what American icon was splashed with a very unattractive light green paint?
Huh?
Adding insult to the injury of 1865, what American icon was splashed with light green paint recently in the news? Please.
Light green paint. Oh.
Lincoln.
Oh, I've heard this. I know I heard this.
Well, I have half a mind to clear this room. And believe me, I could clear this room. What?
Lincoln.
Lincoln? You go along with that, Cindy?
Sure.
Yes, Lincoln. Okay. I guess that makes up for the count and your choice of mace. And that would be,
that's one right and one wrong.
Okay, you pulled out of your hole there anyhow. And then what's left?
People, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Cindy?
All right. Sarah wants us to pick odds and ends, so let's go for that, Russ.
All right. Blame her then. Are chimpanzees more complex than humans?
In what way?
I'm supposed to ask the question here. So. It's according to the American Journal of Primatology, and they looked at complexity in primates, apparently. And the question is, are chimpanzees more complex than humans?
Males or females?
chimps or humans?
Are you talking body or brain?
You guys are giving me a hard time here. I'm just trying to help.
I think they're probably
behaviors.
More complex.
They're looking for numbers of behaviors, different types of discernible behaviors.
I would think chimps probably would be more complicated, more complex.
More complex than humans? Cindy?
In terms of behaviors?
Yes, numbers of behaviors.
Numbers of behaviors. Okay, I'll go along with that.
Yes, chimpanzees, much more. 55. They have 55 behaviors. Humans have like 5. Guys have like 2.
So, that's why I asked.
Yeah.
Guys or girls?
No, that's a good point. But anyhow, the chimpanzees got it all over us either way. And what's left?
What's left?
What's the score?
The score.
Not what's left.
What do you want? The score or what's left?
Tell me both.
Okay. There's 2 right and 1 wrong. And the categories left are people, places, things you should have learned in school.
What do you want? Don't yell at me. I'm a sensitive person. And so then what? Now, what you said what's left?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And then Russ.
Shall I repeat them? People. People, places, things you should have learned in school.
Things I should have learned in school.
Okay. School it is. All right.
All right.
Okay, we're talking about this, the royal baby, whatever his name is, George, being the next king of England. But in fact, there has not been a king of England, plain old England itself. You know, it's now the United Kingdom. Since who? Who was the last actual king of just plain old England? Was it George III, William III, or Edward? The one or the other.
Did you learn this in school, Russ?
The last actual king of England. Just plain old England.
George III.
I think
you've got
George
it on reliable III. Sources there. George III.
Unreliable?
Reliable.
Okay.
I trust
him. Reliable. Mm. Okay.
No, I'm sorry. It's William.
Oh, my God.
William the
only people
III,
in America to lose this. Sorry.
Who ruled with Mary II. You remember William and Mary?
Oh.
That was him. Yeah. And that was back in 1689 to 1702. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's 2 right and 2 wrong.
Okay, it's more exciting this way anyhow, isn't it? It all comes down to this, huh?
It does.
From which of these?
People or places.
Oh, Cindy?
How about places?
Okay. Okay. The global leader in cash bribes paid. They looked at all nations in the world where you had to pay bribes to get anything you wanted done, basically. The global leader in cash bribes paid, is it Canada, Sierra Leone, or Chicago?
My instincts would run to Chicago.
Okay, don't go with your instincts. I told you before.
Okay,
don't
go I'd say
Sierra Leone. Leone.
Stay away from your instincts.
That's what I'd say.
Haven't you learned it? How many years have you been married?
23.
Do you still go with your instincts? No,
no
you don't.
I do whatever I'm told.
Yeah, exactly. Forget your instincts.
Actually, if you would have looked at her question, is that she has no questions because she knows everything.
Okay.
Oh,
in other
God.
Words, a wife. We call it a wife. Yes. Okay. Canada, Sierra Leone, or Chicago? Most bribes paid.
Sierra Leone?
I'd go with that.
Sierra Leone, 84%. Oh. The people of Sierra Leone bribe because that's the way it works. Liberia is 75%. Least is Denmark. 1% in Denmark.
Only 1%.
Congratulations. Well, you won. I forgot how excited I was for a minute. And what do they want?
Well, Russ, you'll choose from a wide variety of handcrafted artisanal cheeses and their perfect companions at Fromagination, a European-style cheese shop with Wisconsin pride on Madison's Capitol Square. Nice. Cindy, learn the 10 absolutely worst jobs you could possibly have, but not how to avoid them. In What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. And both of you can maintain summertime freshness with Meshuggah Mints, extra strong, certified kosher, and packed in a reusable tin from the Unemployed Philosophers Guild. And keep your mental faculties alert playing What Do You Know? The Party Game, including the Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us. Don't grab the pole and show them how it's done. That's all I'm asking of you. Okay. Thanks, Russ. Cindy, hang on. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing, you guys. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot. It was fun.
Attention, Bayfield, Wisconsin. What Do You Know? We'll be under the big top on Saturday, August 3rd. Get your tickets right now by calling 715-373-5552 or by following the links on notmuch.com.
Thank you.
Remember, you can be part of What Do You Know Live here at the beautiful Monona Terrace in Madison. Ticket and scheduling information is available on our website, thatsnotmuch.com. And come see us in Bayfield next weekend. We'll be Chautauquaing Saturday, August 3rd. Get your tickets and your questions ready for Michael. Call 715-373-5552 or follow the links on notmuch.com. We'll see you under the big top. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is, of course, Producer International. Adam Friedrich's our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
Thank you all for coming. See you next week in Bayfield under the big top.
PRI, Public Radio International.